Hello there, I'm Tim and he's John, and this is How to Murder Time, a podcast about games and things.
Hello everybody.
Watcha?
We're back with more.
We are. Back
more things.
Again.
More games. This is a games and things one.
Is it?
Yes. We're going to talk about things and games.
I've not had any prep for this show, I just turned up.
Yeah.
And he surprised me with loads of notes, which is very conscientious,
I
have to say.
I did prep.
He's been writing and all sorts. What have you been writing about?
I did the sort of prep that I don't bother you doing normally because it fits in my brain.
Mm-hmm.
And now my chair's creaking. Yes, I've been thinking a bit recently about game length.
Game length. Okay.
What with the sort of games that I usually like and also the fact that I've been playing a lot of VR games,
mm-hmm.
game length has really been weighing on my mind somewhat.
Okay, cool. Yeah. It's something we talk about quite a lot when we're just reviewing games in general. It's always
I think we should have a proper little discussion on it.
Oh, a topic show. I do
so,
like
game length.
Yes.
What is the ideal length for a game?
The ideal length for a game? Oh, gosh, how long is a piece of string?
Exactly. That's the problem, isn't it? And so the question is, what's too long and what's too short?
Is there such a thing as too long and too short?
That's a good question.
It's probably a good
Let's start with too
point.
Long. What is too long for you to play a game?
Too long for
game,
me.
Is there a length that makes you say, I do not want to play this?
I don't know. I mean, quite often I won't know going into it how long it's going to take anyway, which because I do very minimal research and don't read any reviews or listen to the opinions of others anyway. So often it'll be a surprise as to how long it actually is. And yeah, I've definitely had times where I've been surprised that it was as long as it has been or as short as it has been. My expectation hasn't been matched. But then my expectation has been somewhat different depending on the kind of thing I'm expecting. If it's some kind of, I don't know, puzzle platform, a racy game, that kind of thing, you don't want them to be too long, whereas any kind of essentially role play game story type of thing, I'm usually quite anticipating a good old long haul for that kind of thing. And that's sort of, I suppose, somewhat informed by the relevant media that sort of influences those particular sub game types. If it's essentially trying to be a massive doorstopper fantasy novel, then I expect it to be quite lengthy in general terms.
Yeah, well, the thing that got me thinking about this is I've not been playing an awful lot of games recently.
Okay.
And the main reason for that is the fact that I'm just getting so few spots in my week to play them.
You're becoming a busier person.
I'm a busier person. There's two nights a week which are put aside to playing other games.
Okay, yeah.
One of those nights you will all know from the Minecraft series.
It's your sort of static group type thing,
yeah.
So which becomes a more of a social commitment rather than a gaming endeavour. Although, yes, the gaming's important. It's
The game itself in both of those situations are secondary.
Yes. And also the duration of the game. I suppose if you're talking essentially about a static group form, which is a sort of weekly commitment of a couple of hours a week to hang out with friends and play a computer game at the same time. It's much like going bowling or whatever the normal people do. But you don't, I suppose, in that situation, want the game in question to be over in half a week's play.
Exactly.
Yeah, so you're almost in a way looking for something specifically almost unending. I suppose MMOs we can come to, but you're looking for something with a good heft to it, really, for that kind of static group proposition.
Yeah,
because if it's over in 3 weeks, then now we need to look for something else.
And as an example, the main How to Murder Time static group every Friday playing stuff. Also, other ones through
that's
the week.
Interesting. Yeah.
They switch out games.
Yes.
Because
so that's the other way to do it is we I suppose you could say we're playing Tabletop Simulator, which itself is a kind of platform and is something that has an almost infinite duration. It doesn't have a particular game objective in and of itself. It's simply a way of playing board games online collaboratively. But yeah, pretty much each week we play lots of different board games and we do rotate through a number of different titles. And I don't think I keep promising to introduce everyone to Twilight Imperium, but so far we haven't had to save the game state at the end of the evening and then carry on from where we left off at the beginning of the next week. We typically play single board games that do range from about an hour to 2 hours of each Friday. And sometimes we'll play a couple of games of something shorter, but mostly it'll be one game and at the end of which it's like, getting a bit late now and we're all a bit drunk, to be honest. So, you know, there's no real expectation that we would play like 4 or 5 games of Lords of Waterdeep or whatever on a Friday. That doesn't really fit the slot. And that's in the slot. Typically, we play most static groups. We play 8 p.m. through to about 11 p.m. roughly, or earlier if we finish earlier or folks want to head off. So we're looking, yes, very specifically for something that lasts about 2 to 3 hours.
Yeah, so
on a Friday.
In your non-social playing.
Yes.
By that I also mean games like Eve, where you know you might be running a co-op or something like
where
that.
Where everyone's soloing along together and just chatting, yeah.
What was the last game you played which you thought was this game is going on too long?
Oh, well, I don't know. I mean, I do tend to get bored and wind up and run out of, I don't know, a lot of the empire buildy stuff, your 4X type games, Civ games. I remember Anno 2070, getting that really outstayed its welcome a bit. I got about halfway through the campaign. I mean, now, I don't know whether you consider the game itself to be the campaign or a match. I mean, technically, a lot of these 4X games, the game itself is one particular scenario or one campaign.
There is
fight,
an awful
but then there
lot
are...
of 4X games which I've only played the once and then thought I've seen this game now.
Yeah, and a lot of them I've never finished a game of. You know, some of the more because I'll go into the. I'm thinking Galactic Civilizations is one where it's a bit like Master of Orion. You basically set up the initial game state conditions at the beginning, and you pick galaxy size, number of opponents, and all that sort of stuff. And I almost always go, yes, pick everything because I want it to become a sort of massive, real life, giant, vast playground, I suppose. But yes, I'll find that I'll actually get bored and never finish a game like that.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering even if I was expecting to at the start. So a lot of these sorts of games, particularly the strategy games, you get to customise and pick the world, and you can dictate, in theory, the length of game you actually want. But then, I don't know, picking the smallest of all the options in a game like that always seems like you're selling the game itself and the concept short, so I never do. But in fact, that's probably what I'd actually be much better off doing.
Well, I think the game that most recently this occurred to me once. I was playing through and I thought, this is getting awfully long, I'm getting nowhere, I should just push on with the plot and get to the end and then come back to it later.
A lot of these, yeah, a lot of open world pseudo sandbox
with
type
The Witcher
stuff.
3 was the last time I did that.
Yes.
Because that was the last time I got seriously obsessed in a large game that way.
Yeah.
But I got so far into it, I thought, if I don't do something, I'm never going to get to the end.
Mm-hmm.
And I had all the good intentions about going back and playing it again after I'd finished and clearing up other quests.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Never did.
Pretty much every Assassin's Creed or Saints Row game ends up like that for me as well. You'll sort of putter about to your own satisfaction, filling in the corners, and then eventually you'll just get a sort of snapper breaking point. You think, right, I'm bored of this now. You know, deep down, that's what you're saying to yourself, but, you know, you can't quite bring yourself to be that harsh about it all. But you sort of think, yeah, actually, now I'm bored of this. I want to play something else. But I've put all these hours in. I ought to probably finish it. And so you reach that sort of, right, now push. Now let's just ditch all the side activities, push on the plot, get on with it, finish it. In a way that you're sort of wanting to force its end. Yeah.
The other one, of course, you completed a Final Fantasy game.
Final Fantasy 13, well done, that, wow. I've completed Final Fantasy 13, Final Fantasy 13-2, and I never finished Lightning Returns in the end.
I'd just like to
one.
Point out to all Final Fantasy fans out there, yes, they're the only two he's ever played.
I haven't played any of the others. Everyone says 7's really good.
All the good ones he's not played.
I don't know, whatever. And I've not played any of the online ones. No, Final Fantasy 13 is my only experience of the genre, of the franchise. And yes, 60 hours. It actually tells you at the end, in a sort of insult to injury type of
but they think they're being clever, don't they?
Yeah,
they
yeah.
think, look, this is how much entertainment we gave you.
Yes, I suppose. And then I went away and, well, because there was just so much inexplicability and sort of fake cleverness put in the plot to 13, I thought, I still want to find out what's going on. I put 60 hours in here and I still haven't got a clue. So you end up I ended up going off and getting the sequel in the hope that would explain things. No, just adds a crazy time travel element to the whole proceedings. And then another 30 or 40 hours of gameplay there. And I got about 20 hours into Final Fantasy 13-3, Lightning Returns 1. And that's about some sort of apocalypse at the end of time that still doesn't bring any of the threads together. And eventually you get three games into a sort of 60-hour per installment franchise and you start to think they're just mucking me about, really, aren't they? They're making this up as they go along.
Have you ever played an Assassin's Creed?
Well, quite, yes. Yeah, another fine example there. A lot of those Assassin's Creed games, they just keep on going. Black Flag, I think, that's an example of a game that was too long for me that I got bored of.
Yeah.
Which is shocking, really, because I didn't really get that far into it. But the thing with this Black Flag, it wasn't Black Flag's fault in and of itself. If that were the only Assassin's Creed game, I probably would have finished it. But, you know, I'm four games into a massive series, and I've done a lot of the... You know, and game two was three games. So, you know, I've spent a long, long time in Assassin's Creed, and individual games might be the right sort of length, but that is definitely a franchise that's gone on too long.
You say that, but they're not releasing one this year, and they may not be releasing one next year.
I'm still missing two. Black Flag was the Black Flag's four. You've got this one
well,
in
the French, French one. I'm still halfway through the French
There's one in London, and then I think there was some other thing
I haven't even got the enthusiasm to buy the London.
Some Rogue one as well.
Oh no, Rogue's good. Rogue is quite good.
I don't care. The whole point is that you've got eight or nine games here, each of which are what, like 20 or 30 hours each, and I'm fed up with Templars and Assassins. Yes.
Oh, this is turning into Assassin's Creed rant, isn't it?
But there is an example of a franchise that's gone on too long.
Do you appreciate more a game which, like an open world game, which will have the plot and stuff to do, and you choose when to end it, or is something like Final Fantasy where it ends when it tells you it ends?
Final Fantasy XIII specifically is such a linear experience. There is an open worldy bit in the middle, and if you complete the main story and get all the way to the end, it sort of teleports you, takes you back in time to the open worldy bit, so you can carry on as much as you like in there. But yes, I think it's an elegant solution. It's, you know, it's sort of, we can't really dictate a specific game length because that's not going to tick anyone's box. For some people it'd be too long, for some people it'd be too short. But if we just have a button somewhere in amongst the UI that effectively you push and that ends the game, but to your satisfaction, then that's a good way to get around that, I suppose. You can have this easy door you can go through that will just tie everything up and let you walk away satisfied, but you don't have to go through that door any time until you're ready.
We can't really talk about game length without also mentioning two short games.
Yes.
There's a lot of them about at the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've been playing quite a few of them, primarily the big, I would say offenders, but that would be prejudicing the discussion a bit, are the walking simulator, which is an increasingly dumb term.
Well,
it started dumb and got even more increasingly dumb. And also VR games.
Yeah. So, I think we've got two very distinct different categories there for different reasons too.
Well, quite a lot of it, I think, is the short games tend to be one idea. They're the short stories of games.
Yes.
So, you know, you'll have something like Gone Home or The Beginner's Guide, where they're slow, take so many hours to do, and then you're done. The Bunker, which we covered a couple of weeks ago, perfect example of that. It's all FMV. Very, very limited. You're on this very strict path which you can't get off. You have a couple of decisions you can make. You can fail a couple of things which don't really have any effect.
Yeah.
And it tells a story. It is a short film. Well, it's a full-length film, which feels like a short film because it's enabling control.
Yes.
And a lot of other games that I've been playing recently feel like a short story, like Her Story.
Mm-hmm.
Really, you know, that's the game where you're putting together search terms to piece together a interview for this woman who may or may not have killed people.
Yeah.
And you're trying to figure out who did what, why it was done, and all those things. And that's very clever in the way that as you discover the stuff in this non-linear storytelling, you may find a bit of information without any of the context for it, so you'll assume one thing, and the other thing will turn out to be true when you discover that, and you can have to reevaluate what you know.
Okay.
And that's a game which very much you can choose when you have done. At one point, it asks you, not too long in it, do you think you've got enough information? If so, tell me and we can go.
So we're sort of examining the idea of game length as being defined by a victory condition, a completion of sorts.
Yeah.
And what even is that? Which is what gets explored in this kind of thing then. If we don't even have a point where the thing is finished, I mean, we start to get into the what is a game. Is it actually a toy? Is it a game?
Oh, we'll get into what is a game in a bit.
Quite.
But, you know, something like Final Fantasy or The Witcher, which is a much better example. The Witcher 3 is very, very well written in the way that there is this core plot, which is so long, and then there's all these fluffy bits around the edge which don't actually impact the core plot properly and make the game even longer. So you can choose how long you want the game to be by which bits you do.
Yeah, and you push on the exit when you get bored.
Yeah, and exactly. You get to the point, and even though I was playing through, actually, I overdid the start bit so much that when I got to the end, I was feeling, oh, that's a false ending, isn't it? Oh, I'm now slightly upset with this game.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I wouldn't have done if it had just been a play through it normally. But on the other hand,
these short games, I'm thinking, so you're talking about The Bunker and Her Story. Those are definitely games whose length is essentially determined by the labour intensivity of how they actually make.
Those definitely are. There's only so much real time video in those games.
And that takes a long time to put together. You've got full cast filming and all the rest of it. I mean, her story's a bit easier. It's just a sort of camcorder and one woman. But
yeah,
you know,
but the bunker was allegedly $500,000 in a real bunker.
So you've got a small cast. You've got direction, camera crew, all the hardware, a location, and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, it costs as much as it costs to film an indie film.
Yeah, and you can't. I don't know anything at all about filmmaking, really. But presumably, you can't just keep making a film for 10 years until you get it right. You've got a certain amount of booked time with locations, with stars, with all the equipment.
Yeah. Well, you can try doing that. And it's happened over the years.
Yeah, that's what they call development hell, really. I think every other Terry Gilliam film ends up like that, from what I gather.
Oddly, I was thinking of Terry Gilliam at that point.
But you can only really produce so much physical game in the time and budget you have available. Now, with something more procedurally and cleverly generated, so I'm thinking No Man's Sky or Minecraft or whatever, this word procedural again.
Yeah.
Procedural allows you to decouple the one-to-one time spent making game equals time in-game. You know, typically the time you spend making the game is reduced. You end up with it will take you 2 years and like 50 people working to make a game that most people will complete in about 20 hours. So that's you could look at this through the lens of ratios of effort spent and game length delivered. Whereas something like Minecraft, I don't imagine it takes them anywhere near as long to make the basic engine of Minecraft as it does that most people will then go off and spend playing in Minecraft.
Well, if you were to go and make a new Minecraft, you could do it relatively quickly if you just went for the base features. There are enough examples on YouTube on how to do it in Unity.
But the point being is that then produces enough game in the sort of raw reductive sense to keep people occupied for years and years and years. Obviously they'll get a bit bored of it, presumably.
Difference there is there's a thing. Procedural generation is a tool, it isn't a feature. And you know, No Man's Sky may well have used it as a feature, a selling point. Whereas something like
it has produced an undeniably vast universe that will take you years and years and years and years to finish.
The procedural generation was a tool of necessity.
You had to get the whole thing in 22 kilobytes.
In say Minecraft, the procedural generation is a lovely tool that enables other things to happen. And then it taps into that I like to dig, I like to build.
But getting back to your list, the reason something like The Bunker and her story are so short is because it's just really difficult and expensive and complex to produce that kind of non-procedural content.
This also applies to games like The Beginner's Guide, Stanley Parable, and Dr. Langoskov, and the tigery thing, which are incredibly scripted, well-written. The first Portal as well, I would say.
Incredibly scripted,
well-written things which are very, very humorous and well-timed and well put together.
Yeah.
And you do them and then that's it.
Portal is, I suppose, well, I mean, arguably, depending on how much of an intuitive grasp you get with the portals and if it clicks and you get it. If you get it, and I humbly suggest that I did, you can get through Portal 1.
They've seen our Portal 2 playthrough.
Portal 2, yeah, okay. We didn't get the co-op aspect of it. The Portal 2 co-op course is quite different to the first one. But Portal, I got through there in a relatively short time, I'd say probably about 4 or 5 hours maybe. And you got this sort of Act 2 twist thing going on where the second half of the game is a bit different, but not fundamentally different in a reductive, this is all just blocks and mechanics sense. I mean, the setting and the sort of MO changes all, but...
And Portal 2 still is incredibly short.
Yeah, I would say Portal is essentially a tech demo that got a little bit out of hand.
Yeah.
It's one basic and admittedly very clever idea, and they've sort of experimented with it, they run it through some permutations, you've got the test chambers and stuff, and then at the end it brings it all together in a bit more of a challenging thing. But essentially it is an idea in search of a game, and it's a testament to how good they are at making games that they could turn that admittedly quite straightforward and simple game in the idea into what Portal was.
Now, those are things
Portal
we've been
2 is an idea is the same idea again, but now they've had to turn it into, because of the success of the first game, they now have an expectation to turn it into something much bigger, much more. Everyone loved GLaDOS, let's put loads more GLaDOS in. You know, they had to give it more of a plot, they had to give it a lot more stuff, and
touching all the history
and sort of bulk it out into a proper narrative third-person adventure, more in the nature of Half-Life or whatever.
And I'm still undecided if Portal 2 is actually too long.
Well, the whole second half where they had the gels, which essentially is an entirely different game that they've sort of, you know, acquired and then had to work in as a whole next section. That arguably perhaps isn't even Portal at all. They some of the gel puzzles work with the portals reasonably well, but it does feel like padding. The whole sort of the bit where you go down the hole and into 1960s Cave Johnson world. I mean, it's fun and it's entertaining, but is that really the same game, or is that sort of quite an obvious gear change and dare I say it, padding? I don't know.
Well, we'll get back to that in a bit. Those games we talked about are definitely fun games, yes, as far as I'm aware.
So when you say too short, what do you mean by the does that essentially mean that you'd want what that was to continue for much longer, or were they short enough? Were they too short?
Yeah. Well, in some cases, you want the experience to last longer. They just end.
Yeah.
The bunker, I would have loved to have a much, much longer experience rather than just resolving this one issue. Mm. He wakes up, stuff starts to go wrong. Mm. He deals with it.
Yeah.
And that is the entire plot. Whereas I would have liked that to have a couple of days, different things happening. That would have spiraled out of control.
There's a certain amount of narrative trust in the author, the director there, because you've got two sorts of things there. You've got it's short and sweet and it leaves you wanting more. That phrase, always leave them wanting more. Now, that can be a deliberate thing. That can be, you know, we want people to have finished it, enjoying it so much that they wanted more of it. Which the opposite of is clearly it's gone on too long. I wish it was over, and that's quite a negative way to leave people at the end of your creative work. Or the other alternative that is we wanted to do another it's supposed to be twice as long, but we ran out of money and time and had to just tie it off.
A good example here of something that does length well is the Stanley Parable.
Okay,
you go into that, you work your way through, you find your way through to the end of the game ends.
Yeah.
If you then say, right, I've completed this, you don't know the other 40 ways there are to complete the thing.
Okay.
And then finding all the ways through it and all the different endings.
Now, that's something unique to video games, in that most forms of entertainment are quite linear experiences. They don't have, you know, unless, I mean, possibly the only other alternative I can think of are fighting fantasy game books. But, you know, most films, books, music, whatever, it is a start-to-finish experience, and you go away from it. And you come away from the end of it thinking, God, I hope I didn't miss a better story or a load of more interesting stuff because I didn't pick the right sort of thing.
I didn't like it. Is that because I missed the good stuff?
Yeah, did I put the wrong... select the wrong chapter selection at the start, and was there a better film somewhere else? The film is the film, you know. It's a straightforward begin to end experience and a passive observatory experience.
Another example,
but computer games, particularly these sorts of branching adventure games, you know, it's gotten to be this standard knowledge that every BioWare game must be played through twice.
Yeah.
Because there is the good ending and the bad ending, you know, and they are, well, arguably, perhaps they're not so different from each other anyway, but you will finish it in one mode and think, oh, I wonder what the other one was like. And that's often sold as a deliberate replayability experience. You know, every BioWare game is fundamentally twice as long as you think it is, because you've got to go back and play it through on the evil / renegade / red bar playthrough. Just to be able to then come away from it and think, yes, I have got all my... I've seen the whole thing. I've got my money's worth from my purchase.
A good example of a game taking the mick with this is Far Cry 4.
Okay.
At the start of Far Cry 4, you end up with the bad guy at his dinner table, where he's being all creepy and trying to kill someone as well, just because he can.
Okay.
And he's at one point, he says, wait here, I'll be back in a bit, then we can go do the point of the game.
Yes.
And if you do wait,
he
comes back and you go do the point of the game, and the game ends.
Yes.
Which, you know, a nice little nod to the fact that you didn't have to do all of that stuff, all that running around.
Yeah.
That being the revolutionary figure for the island.
That's quite funny, actually. But it's a sort of joke that's only funny the first time, though, I imagine. Yeah.
But imagine if you didn't know and you did that the first time and got to that ending.
Yeah.
And you could then think, this game is 15 minutes long.
You immediately hit Amazon reviews with a one star and a lot of umbrage, yes.
Although it does hint very heavily that you could go do stuff at that point.
Yeah.
But there's also this class of shorter games, which, you know, really are the walking simulators that everyone talks about. Mm-hmm. Things like... everyone's gone to the rapture and gone home, and Dear Esther. Dear Esther being the most sort obvious one.
Archetypal one, yeah.
Because in Dear Esther, all you do is you start on the beach of an island, you walk around the island almost literally, get to the middle, climb up a tower, and then it ends.
Yeah.
And as you walk along, it plays off bits of reminiscing, which gives you a bit of a plot, and they're slightly random, so they're never quite in any order that you need, and you can never really come to a conclusion.
Was Dear Esther successful in the whole cold hard cash sense?
I believe it was. It's just come out yet again, this time on PlayStation 4.
So clearly it scratched some kind of itch that was there, that satisfied some sort of demand.
When I played it, the thing that it really struck me was, damn, this is a nice looking game.
Yes,
it really
quite a meditative
got that, the Hebrides Island perfectly, really nicely.
I often enjoy these sort of far-flung, well-realised worlds and forget the games that they're actually in and about, and just quite enjoy being on these, you know, wandering around these places. So they're quite interesting to see.
That was basically a hiking simulator.
And that's essentially what Dear Esther largely was, I suppose.
If Dear Esther hadn't had the graphics to back it up and the atmosphere to back it up, I would have not liked it at all.
A large part of the Solus project was that for me as well, and that was another relatively short game. I'd say probably short enough. There wasn't too much extraneous going backwards and forwards fluff, and I got to the end with me wanting to know more. A great part of it was the atmosphere and just the wandering around, the contemplative experience. Now, that is something you bring to yourself. Have you ever come across a Dear Esther speed clear? Is there such a thing? Is that even
no?
A thing?
But everyone's gone to the rapture. There is an achievement for doing it, or a trophy for doing it.
What, getting through
ignoring
the walking,
ignoring everything, just go
getting through the walking simulator in under 2 minutes.
Getting
or something.
To the end and doing it as quickly as possible. I did it, and it really does make the game incredibly pointless. You're just basically walking around a long, windy road to the end, and that's
if you just don't bother looking at any of the surroundings or listening to the monologue or the doomed audio diaries or whatever, just sprint to the end.
But you know, everyone's gone to the rapture is another brilliant example. If you want to wander around an 80s English village, it's really nice. If you don't, then
I did a lot of that in my childhood, to be honest. I could do without it.
Yeah, then if you don't, you're going to get really bored, as the archers level, well, the sub archers level of acting and storyline play out in the background, and you think, oh okay, why does this matter? So the problem is, some of these games really do, especially stuff like Everyone's Gone to the Rapture, and I would even say that Sony repeated a similar problem with the publicity for
No Man's Sky.
Completely blanked on it, where there just wasn't enough game there, and it got hyped up to be, this is a big release, this is going to change things, this is going to be massive.
When actually what No Man's Sky probably is actually more like is some sort of walking simulator, but with spaceships.
Yeah, really is.
Have people generally completed that? Because it came with this objective of get to the centre of the galaxy. I don't know, I've lost track of the buzz of it all.
What do you think happens when you get to the centre of the galaxy?
Probably not a lot, really.
No, something happens.
Does it make you go back to the edge again?
Yeah.
Spoiler,
of course
alert.
It does.
Yeah. Figures. But yeah.
Or it puts you in charge of Goddess, one or the other.
You get to be in charge of Goddess, yeah. I don't know. I mean, yeah, it's, I suppose, the whole point
of... all of those games exist for people who want that atmosphere. I quite like No Man's Sky's atmosphere, and I
if you're not that fussed about the objective or
winning, if you're just wandering around looking at stuff and soaking in the atmosphere, these games are brilliant. If you don't, they're god awful.
Yeah. So I suppose game length is a function of how driven you are to achieve whatever arbitrary win conditions have been set in the first place. If that's, you know, just talk to the bloke over there or don't say no to the guy at the dinner party, then a lot of these guys, a lot of these games you can finish very, very quickly and probably will be quite miffed at the lack of entertainment. Because functionally, I suppose, at a reductive level, what we're looking for from these games is to be entertained for just the right amount of time, whatever that turns out to be, for an agreeable price. And again, whatever that turns out to be.
Okay, value.
So value is I think value is a function of game length, yes.
It has to be, I think. Something like Tetris.
Yes.
How many hundreds of hours could you get out of Tetris if you really got into Tetris?
If you're into the functional basic gameplay unit, which is rotating blocks. Yeah, Candy Crush, match 3 gems. There are lots of people out there who will spend hours and hours playing that sort of stuff.
And
hidden object games, my mum's crazy for those, on the carousels in supermarkets. Yeah, the mystery of Raven Manor or whatever.
And they are definitely all still games.
Yes, she'll play loads of that.
That whole idea of not a game is
She won't play anything we recognise as a game, but she's no less a gamer than we are.
I tried to make my mum one play Portal once. It went really badly.
I haven't tried that yet. I'll have to give that a go.
That whole use of the controller thing is a lot harder than you think. Also, the entire spatial issues.
Don't really want to be responsible for turning my mum's mind inside out. It's not helpful.
So, value.
Yes.
Let's look at, say, a good one. No Man's Sky.
No Man's Sky.
The elephant in the room with six legs, which looks like the elephant with four legs on the next
phrase. Planet. Elephant in the room. It's just not useful or practical in any real sense.
It's a £50 game, $60, whatever it was.
Yep.
Full price release. Mm. And gameplay-wise, what you do is you travel to a planet, you go around, explore, you find bits of language in some places,
yep.
You find resources all over the shop, you'll find blueprints, which you can use to make better stuff, mm-hmm. You can find crashed spaceships, which you can repair,
yep.
You can make cash through selling stuff you found, you can buy ships on space stations, that's about it.
Okay, so it sounds relatively straightforward and simple.
And you do it on one planet, then you go off and do it on another planet and on another planet and on another planet until you get to where you need to be. There's also, if you choose correctly at the start and don't screw it up by saying, no, I do not want to take this thing, which looks awfully like it could be just a tutorial, which happens to be the entire plot instead.
Oh, right. The plot. Yeah.
So then there's sort of a slight plot thing, which just gives you slightly other things to do and collect.
Yeah, yeah.
Which doesn't really help.
So
that is a full price release. That is the same cost as The Witcher. That is the same cost as Final Fantasy.
£40 for PC, $60 or so for a console.
Yeah, about $50 for a console. $60.
Yeah.
So you make your choice.
And we can't talk about anything in dollars anymore.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, we should not.
So $1 does equal £1 now these days, as we always complained about back in MMO billing days in the 2000s.
Which makes it so much worse now because, yes.
Anyway.
You look at the value and you can do that awful, awful thing of breaking it down to per pound.
It's a very reductive. Well, we are logical, reductive creatures. We try to break things into simple expressions, yeah.
If you look at hours per
Tesla's pound. Per kiloparsec, yes.
Yeah. Hours per pound, Final Fantasy comes out incredibly well.
I definitely felt I got my money's worth for Final Fantasy 13, yes.
Pounds per hour, the bunker doesn't come out quite so well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You'd feel a bit miffed about that, yeah.
But we can compare.
See, this is interesting because I remember, I followed the hoo ha around No Man's Sky quite considerably closely at the time, and I remember seeing three sorts of reviews. One review was this just, usual troll based internet rage incandescence where people were just calling the people who made No Man's Sky every name under the sun and accusing them all kinds of bait and switch and, scamming and so on because their own personal demons had been triggered. Then there was the other sort who were clearly sort of, sock puppet apologists for the game who just says, it's brilliant, you just don't understand, it's the best thing ever. Fine, I'm glad you enjoy your thing. But most of the reviews I saw were people going, yeah, it's all right, wait till it comes out on a sale.
Yeah.
Literally, it was this is not a £40 game, this is a £15 game.
Was that my review? It probably was.
Well, I think that's probably what you came out with, yeah, exactly. But, so many people were saying, yeah, it's all right, but it's not worth £40.
It's interesting.
Yeah, exactly. But that was sort of the measure, the basic fundamental judgment being applied by many, many people with No Man's Sky was, it's all right, but it's not worth what they're selling it at.
Yeah, and
implies that everyone is doing this calculation all the time.
Fundamentally, I absolutely agree with that statement. Yeah. It is not worth a full price release.
It's a £15 game, which is interesting because that then implies that there's a kind of linear calculation, a kind of algebra you can apply to this.
Yeah,
No Man's Sky is worth £15, but is not worth £40. So there is £25 worth of game value missing from the design and construction of No Man's Sky.
It's not number of hours you can play.
I don't know.
And it's not number of features or number of random animals you can
play. It's all bonkers. It really is weird. Pseudoscience of the worst sort, I think.
And everyone has a slightly different one.
Yeah. Oh, everyone has different thresholds, yeah. But the idea that we look at these games in terms of price points because we think some things are worth the same and some things are worth others. But length is definitely attached to that.
Yeah, I think you have to be very careful when you start reviewing a game, say, if you become a game reviewer, that you don't bring these things in. You look at a
we're creatures of rational comparison. We're trying to compare one thing against another, especially in reviewing, because otherwise everything exists in its own little isolated universe, and there's no way to say if A is A better than B. And so to see if A is better than B, we have to use metrics, we have to use numbers, we have to use top trumps functionally. So we look at things like length, we look at things like price, we look at things like value, and value being a distillation of things like price and other price divided by something else.
Let's look at Forza. Forza has an interesting feature where when you play through it and just do select this championship, play through it, and it says, right, you finish this championship.
Yeah.
And then you can just play through all of them until you finish the game.
Yeah.
But by doing that, you are missing almost half of the races on each championship.
So effectively, that's sort of like the BioWare, if you play through as Paragon, you're missing half of the witty dialogue and half the kicking people through windows.
But it's a racing game, so there isn't an awful lot of variation there. It's just more of the same. Because there was there's multiple markets that need to be catered to. There is the casual people who just want to play a driving sim for a year until the next one comes out.
Mm.
And then there's the hardcore people who want to really play a driving sim.
Yeah.
And you can't really, in any form of review, say, yes, Forza is long enough because, one, it's going to be too long for some people and not long enough for other people, and you can't say what those levels are. It is absolutely impossible to say if Forza is too long or too short.
Hmm. So we're looking for some way to measure and compare expected lengths based, which is quite a subjective thing, isn't it? How long is too long? Again, it comes back down to individual preference, I suppose. I mean, there are some physical things. I'm looking at some of your list of too short games there. And you mentioned VR games there. Now, would you want to be playing a VR game that took 30 hours?
Well, that actually,
because
you're
entering the realms of physical comfort.
That
headset.
Really is the thing. Most VR games tend to be a couple of hours at most. There's a Batman game, which is an hour.
Mm.
And it is, by all accounts, fantastic. I've not played it myself. It's only on PlayStation for now. And it is just this sumptuous, wonderful Batman investigating thing experience.
Yeah.
And it lasts an hour. And it's going to cost money. And you think at that point, how much is this worth? Is that experience of being Batman for an hour really worth that money? And if you're a Batman fan, you're going to say yes. You're going to say, oh, I am Batman.
So again, we're hitting the sort of subjective, how long is too long, this is too much, this is not enough.
So I think what it is you have to have what appears to be enough. You have to have enough content in there so that everyone says, yes, there's obviously enough. No Man's Sky was famously silent about what the actual game was up until the last second.
Mm.
It turns out because they were afraid and didn't want to say it, but everyone was speculating, and that speculation meant that people were thinking, it's a $60 game.
Therefore,
it's going to have enough features to fill that up.
Yeah, yeah.
And it didn't. So
because the only thing we knew at that point was how much it was going to cost, and then we extrapolate using our shaky mathematics that we normally see applied to all these games and just assumed it was going to be some kind of 40-hour story game.
And is that where the Assassin's Creeds of this world become slightly problematic? Because every single open world game now, it has this scattershot of open world activities just to fill it up. Is that because if you don't have them, your open world game suddenly doesn't look to have any value anymore? It looks like it's underpopulated.
I think this is I think what's happened then is that various marketing and game design, you know, the sort of suits who sort of extrapolate all this into maths and money, have looked at this kind of thing and decided that the best way to address the problem we're discussing right here, which is that how long is too long? Too long is different for different people, and so is too short. So what we'd need to do is create several, or ideally many, different game length durations, all contained within the same product. So if you approach an Assassin's Creed game brutally pushing on the plot and just ignoring all the side nonsense, I'm not going to collect any flags, I'm not going to do chariot racing or whatever, I'm just going to keep pushing on this tedious Templar subplot until it finishes, then you could probably crack through the whole thing in about 4 to 6 hours and then put the game down, never come back to it, and you could be satisfied. Of course, you'd still be quite cross that you'd spent £40 on it, but then if you decide that, oh, this is brilliant, I love Constantinople, it's my favourite period of history ever, I'm going to live here, and then you could basically fill in, get all the little flags, do all the weird chariot racing, kill everyone, and then everyone again, And you could basically spin that out into a 60, 80, 100-hour experience, yeah, going round and round and trying to get, you know, gold star or 100% on all the synchronizations or whatever. You know, not only do all the activities, but just keep doing the activities over and over until you get them perfect. You could, yeah, live there and it'll be a 100-hour game. And then it also, then you put it down and come back again in 3 years' time and play it from the start again with a new save.
Yeah.
There's another 100 hours there on top. I mean, when do these games, you know, we haven't really discussed replayability, I suppose. That becomes a function of this as well. But the smart money, the smart design, is to try and cater to everyone, because then you can get everyone's money. So the idea is that, I suppose, yes, very specifically, the open world story progression game, as seen in Assassin's Creed, GTA, Saints Row, whatever, these games, and increasingly that's becoming a requirement in our game design. It's not enough just to have an on-rails story game anymore. There has to be this pseudo freeform world around it that you can go off and do little activities in. That is an attempt, I think, to provide everyone with what they want. And I don't know how successful that is, because we start to rise above it in a sort of meta sense, start to get tired of the whole franchise or the concept itself.
Into the entire thing of an open world game, when you see, oh, it's an open world game, there is a map just covered in these things.
Yeah.
Does that get you a free pass on the, yes, this is what the full release is? Right.
Well, no, and it gets worse, because I start to see all Assassin's Creed games as functionally being the same anyway. So what you get is not only a problem with game length within its own title, but the whole franchise, as I mentioned earlier, the whole franchise has gone on too long now, and I'm just not even going to pick up any future Assassin's Creed games, because I've seen them all, done them all. I can't imagine there's any mind-bendingly different and, you know, approach to how the one in London works compared to the one in Rome, you know?
What if I told you you didn't have to climb towers to unlock the map?
That sounds like a massive genre-changing feature.
It would be, because they didn't do that.
Oh, right. Well,
no, you still have to climb towers.
No, yeah.
And now every game you have to climb a tower. Even the driving
games.
Even
ones that aren't Assassin's Creed at all.
Yeah.
Mad Max there, you've got to drive your car up a tower or something.
Yeah,
or
you do. You, it's quite hard jumping.
You get in the balloon thing, don't you?
Yeah, you have to drive to a balloon and go up in a balloon.
But the point being is that, you know, the way the industry works in its follow the leaderness, you know, even you know, well-meaning developers tend to be influenced by other games they've played and enjoyed. So, and that's not even when you're not applying the cynical marketing suits to the whole equation, who are just looking at metrics and seeing what sells and doing the same thing again. So game length starts to bleed from outside, you know, across the whole genres. I'm just bored of open world climb the rooftops of city games
now,
let alone any particular one.
Another game which may have been,
but yes, I mean, but basically the open world game with story, with side activities and stuff, I think is an attempt to try and tick all the boxes at once for game length. It can be as long or as short as you like.
Yeah, take another game. Take The Order. 1880.
I remember you saying that was quite short.
It's very short, and it got panned for it, basically being an interactive movie that was quite short.
Okay.
Yes, it was very short. A lot of people did actually like it. I didn't, because I thought the writing was a little bit terrible and the gameplay was awful too. And it did do that quick. It's something old but different reality. Let's put airships in it.
Steampunk.
Has to be airships. So that was a game which was panned for being too short. There's another.
If you're not enjoying it, then too short's not necessarily a bad thing.
That was an 8-hour game, I think. Seven, 8-hour game.
Yeah.
A lot of games do appear, and this could be quite controversial to even mention it, to maybe pad out their runtime slightly.
Well, yes. I mean, I suppose, I don't know how reductively significant game duration is when it comes to review time, but do you lose Metacritic points for your game not being X hours long?
I think you do.
Do game reviewers expect a game of a particular type to come in at a certain duration, and if that doesn't, if it's too short, or, you know, heaven forbid, if it's got a tight, very well told story that doesn't need embellishment, is that still going to cost
well,
it
that,
lots
that's
of
the
points?
Thing. We fetishized game length as value, to a point where you couldn't get one of the, say, any one of the fantastic authors out there, who came in and wrote, say, a really nice, tight, well done story,
A
Stephen King short story kind of thing,
just
got it perfectly right, pitch perfect, all the way through, fantastic. Yeah. It would get slated for being too short.
Yeah. But then we're starting to blur the media boundaries there, then, aren't we? We're starting to see what are effectively movie screenplays be dumped into the game and then dragged out and then had a whole load of side activities tacked on the item.
And
still only coming in at 8 hours and then being dumped 20 Metacritic points for being too short and not very good value.
And how many games over the years have made you get to a certain level or something that doesn't look like a level but really is before it lets you do the next bit with the come here later when you are a bit better?
Oh, yes, yes. The whole sort of unlock mechanics. Metroidvania, I believe you call it?
No. The Metroidvania idea is one which unlocks stuff enabling you to go back and get to previous content. What I'm talking about is...
is go round and round doing this grindy bit before you can carry
on. Please get more XP before you can get the next
mission. Well, the XP bar itself,
XP bar itself is a perfect example. Basically, the game has been padded in order to make it last longer.
Yeah.
Now, this can be for perfectly good artistic reasons. It could be that it's just to slow you down so you don't go through the entire plot immediately and ruin its impact.
Well,
without seeing anything else in the game.
Maybe. Or, I don't know. I mean, you sometimes see that in the form of utterly disconnected mid-sections of game that don't really bear any relevance onto anything else, which is a sure sign that the whole thing came in far too short and, oh, God, we got to do some extra stuff. I mean, I'm thinking probably most of the Cave Johnson section of Portal 2, which was funny and interesting in itself, but made very little sense compared to the main story and plot.
It wasn't needed.
It's a sort of, you know, 2-3 hour side diversion that coincidentally padded the game out. Well, I quite enjoyed Cave Johnson as a character. He should have been in it more. But
there's a rule about filmmaking, which is you shouldn't have anything which isn't related to the plot. Because you don't have enough time in the runtime.
But then that's because movie making is a very... I mean, we're getting onto a whole sort of the movie side of this whole length thing. I mean, most films are 2 hours long.
Yeah. Well, three hours.
It's a convention,
isn't
it?
Yeah. Four or five hours by the time you listen to this, because it's getting out of hand.
But you get... Yeah, but exactly. You get the occasional film that's 3 hours long and everyone makes a massive big fuss about it, you know?
Yeah.
And that's because you're having to sit in a cinema on a not terribly
or
comfortable
even just
seat
sitting
for a very
on your
long
sofa.
Time.
I don't like 3 hour films. I think that there are certain lengths of films and 2 hours is pushing it.
But yeah, I'll happily sit there and play a computer game for 4 or 5 hours straight. I probably shouldn't. But, you know, that's a session in a game and you expect most games to last more than one session.
Yeah. That's the other thing. I think a game which you can sit down and play and complete in an evening...
Mm.
Brothers, A Tale of Two Souls, another good example of that. A game which you can just play. I did play it through one Saturday night.
Yeah.
It was a fantastic game. It made me cry. It was brilliant in that regard.
Yeah.
But you can do it in an evening, and I think that people may have been turned off that game because it looked too short.
That's outrageously short for a computer game. But when you sort of take a step back and look at that through, not gamers' eyes, you look at it as any other kind of entertainment. 2 hours is, it's a film.
Yeah.
It's a whole film.
And also, when it comes down to it, in the modern life, who does... grown-up people with relationships, kids, jobs, all of those things that get in the way. Who has the time to sit down and spend an entire day playing games?
I do at weekends, but I don't have much in the way of other responsibilities.
Yeah, your wife really wants you to call her, by the way.
I'm not a grown-up.
The thing with that is...
But padding,
If a film gets too long, we complain, but the films are getting longer...
Mm.
And why are action films getting to be longer? Is it at the point now where
are we moving to the we don't care about cinemas anymore?
Well, no. Is it to the point where people have started applying that to films?
A what game narrative and duration length is now being fed back into movie making?
Well, maybe not because of games, but is it a point where people are saying, "Oh, that's a 3 hour film; it'll be brilliant." Oh, but that's only an hour and a half action film; that can't be good at all.
Well, I think we come back to the Her Story and the Bunker, where don't forget you still have to make this film, and yes, if there's some kind of general formula that you can use to time and money and man hours spent making film to length or film after it's all been edited and put together and everything, if there's a ratio there, then can you afford to spend 20 years making a film just so that you've got a good 5 hour film at the end of it all instead of the usual 2 hour film that takes you like 18 months to do? I don't know.
2 hour films do not take 18 months.
I don't know. I'm making numbers up, but the point being is that you still have to actually make this thing. It still costs money. It costs a staggering and eye-watering amount of money per week to be filmmaking, I imagine, well, by the time you add all the costs together. So, you still have to make the thing, so you're still going to end up with a certain amount of stuff at the end. I mean, you probably end up with loads and loads of stuff at the end, but then there's editing involved as well.
Well, if you consider you're shooting for quite a lot, there may be, depending on the director, 10, 20 takes for a scene.
Is there such a thing as editing in game design?
Yes.
Is that a concept? Is that even relevant?
Yes, there is. What will happen?
Could we potentially have like dozens and dozens more hours of gameplay than we actually end up
getting?
When a game
is written, when it's designed, an awful lot will be on the table.
Yeah.
And a lot of effort will be put into the start of the game because everyone sees it.
Yeah.
Less effort will be put to the end of the game.
Yeah.
Because the end of the game, not many people are going to see it, but you do have to have an end.
Yes.
There are whole bits in the middle which we never know about, which get disappeared.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I mean, I'm thinking Knights of the Old Republic 2. There was an enormous chunk of midsection of that game that never made it to the actual release that ended up getting hacked back into the game by modders and so on. And a lot of the story didn't make much sense because of the stuff that was missing. And it was real significant chunks, you know, like almost a quarter or a third of the game.
It gets to the point where you want to do all this content, but you can't. You can afford so much of it, so you just edit it down so it fits. Much like a film, which will be edited down for runtime or to change the tone of the film or something. It can completely ruin the meaning of the game.
So game length is much less of an organic process or objective than we think, and actually it is something that people strive to hit a particular target and goal, often, I imagine.
I think people are striving to hit a minimum length.
Yeah, but, so which comes back to your padding, yeah.
So, back in the day,
yeah,
you get to the end of the game and it'll make you do it again backwards.
Yes.
Sticky Thunderbirds.
Yes, a lot of Spectrum games, you know, because that's a very cheap and easy way in terms of disk storage or memory or whatever.
It was memory. It was basically, we've got all this generated already, let's just run it backwards.
Just do it again, but in reverse. Oh, okay. That's satisfying, yeah.
But when something like the Phantom Pain does it, which was had a bit where towards the end it made you redo some missions, with context, but even didn't do stuff like take the tutorial bits out of it, so you were getting the tutorial hints again.
I'm thinking actually of Regrowth, one of our more recent episodes. You will have seen us got unreasonably furious about there was a part in the Regrowth progression where it sends you off to some dream dimension where you can't take anything with you, and then it wants some quite complicated refined item at the end of it all to tick a quest off. So functionally, that is do the first 20 or 30 hours of Minecraft again.
Well, I think the idea was we were meant to know exactly what we needed to do.
Well, it would have been quicker,
but it was still do it again.
I was so furious. We were so furious with it. We cheated in the end. We just used the special book to spawn in the item, and then we moved on with our lives.
Cheated,
yes, we did. Yes,
yeah.
But I'm not having it. But there you go.
Well,
but that's
the reason
cheap,
why we
and
that
is padding.
Yeah, that was padding, and I don't feel it was fair
Make
for
busy
us
work.
To put that padding into videos.
Yes, we were thinking of you, dear listener, of course. Didn't want anyone to have to watch like 20 episodes where we're trying to build furnaces again.
It's bad, very, very mechanically doing it because we know what to do. So it's just a big list of things to do each episode.
Nothing new, nothing interesting. You just got to do it again because, lol.
Yeah, and it's bad enough that you guys have to watch us do it the first time.
Yeah. So, yeah, but padding, because I think padding is a response to this modern culture of kilo Teslas per parsec. You know, it's this whole ISO unit that we haven't invented yet, which represents value in gaming, which is a function of length.
Yeah.
It's something per length, you know? How much, lols per hour
no
pound.
No matter how
or
unsuited
per dollar.
Length is.
Length is used as a metric.
People do not judge
value.
The quality of a book on its length because it's gone past that basic, I think this is a worthwhile time, quite quickly.
Yeah, so you'll tell a short narrative, tight story that's a lot of fun and very enjoyable, and it will stop about 5 hours in and you're going to get slated. You'll lose about 20 points worth of Metacritic because it doesn't meet some arbitrary expectation.
And on the other hand, people think The Wheel of Time is classic, and don't deny that you think that, dear listener.
So what happens then? Yes, exactly. You end up with this weird sort of slightly disconnected, not really relevant to anything else midsection in a computer game. I'm thinking of Dishonored, actually, a game I fantastically love for many reasons. But so you do a load of stuff, and there's a big conspiracy, and then you're trying to reclaim your honor and right some wrongs, and you get to the end with your little counter conspiracy, and then some things happen, and then for some reason you're now in for reasons I don't want to spoil, plot reasons, but that aren't really very plotty, you have to go off and do about 4 or 5 levels in the drowned part of the city, and you end up with having to fight this band of assassins, and then at the end of that you jump almost immediately to where you just could have gone straight away on the main plot again. In other words, yeah, there's a sort of about a fourth, a quarter or so of the game there that was just looked like it had been added because we've come in too short. So yeah, that does happen. Well, it happens a lot.
Is it because we came in too short, or is it because they've designed the core narrative and then thought, right, we got this, this, and this we can put in?
Yeah.
And only that got made, and there was the options for the other two if the money
went
that far. I don't
know. It's interesting to see. I mean, that's why I quite like reading postmortems of long, old classics. I mean, that's why I found out about all this whole Knights of the Old Republic 2 thing. You know, I mean, it's common, generally, sort of, you know, you can hunt around for it and find the details. But yeah, just whole sections of game that vanish or that get added that weren't needed to be there, padding and cuts, you know, all aiming to hit this arbitrary duration that has somehow suddenly become very, very important to sales and to marketing and to review scores. And obviously review scores feed directly into the chances that more people are going to pay you money for what you've done. So, you know, it's this big sort of chain, big spiral. And somewhere in there we've gotten a bit confused as to what duration of a game actually means. Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing?
Well, you can look at it from the other point of view, which is everything has to be judged in relation to the other things that are available.
Mm, yeah.
But
game A being longer than game B is not necessarily an indication of anything, really, is it?
No, it's just the indication of how long it's going to take you to complete it.
Yeah.
And there are some incredibly fantastic short games which I'd rather play than some incredibly dull long games.
I think the basic problem there is that it comes back to the fact that, are you enjoying yourself during this time? Because if you're enjoying yourself, then a game being very long is a good thing. But if you'd rather be stabbing yourself with nails in the leg, then a game being very long is a bad thing, and vice versa. You know, the inverse applies to games being too short. If it's awful, then the shorter the better, ideally. Or ideally, I shouldn't be playing it at all. But so I don't know. I think length is probably a red herring in that regard, certainly from the reviewing perspective, because behind it all you need a game mechanic you enjoy that is fun, that trips the pleasure centres of the brain.
Yeah,
you know.
Unfortunately, how do we move away from that? Although we might be moving away from it slightly at the moment, because people seem to be complaining about 30 frames a second more than
frame rate,
which may be progress. I don't know.
It's a sort of function of length as well. Maybe they're looking for an arbitrary number of frames, and if the frames aren't, frame rate isn't high enough, we can't get them quickly.
Yeah, they are. That's basically the argument.
I don't know.
So, in conclusion,
length
doesn't really matter, but it really does matter if you want to be taken seriously.
I think we, as ever, I think we're missing a kind of language and a kind of finesse and refinement to how we regard the medium. I mean, you know, it's easy to talk about, oh, game's too long, game's too short, but that is, I suppose, laziness and covering for needing to examine in more depth what goes on within those minutes, within those hours. I mean, pacing is a thing. Pacing's important. Does it keep you going, or are there long empty bits? But length as just an arbitrary measure of time that it took for the thing to finish is, yeah. I don't know.
Hey, something like the bunker, where, you know, it's 15 quid, whatever it is, and you can see where every pound was spent on it, because every second of that gameplay looks like it costs money.
Yes.
In a way that people can understand.
But again, I don't even think that's still not enough. It's, yeah, okay, they spent a lot of money on this very short game, but that still doesn't really tell us, am I going to enjoy it? Is it good, or is it money well spent?
I don't think it good's ever really factored into game reviews, is it?
Because how can you tell somebody else that you like a thing? All you can do is tell them you like a thing, and then you tell them you like things. And this is pretty much how I look at it whenever we talk about any of these games on the show, is that I sort of look at it and I think, all I can tell the listener is whether I've enjoyed it or not, and then the listener has to go away and play the things I've played, and if they like the things that I've said I've liked and they don't like the things that they said I've not liked, then we can build some kind of synchronicity of common experience, and then from that, you know, from a certain number of, you know, calibration tests, you can eventually go away and think, well, the sorts of things Tim likes are the sorts of things I'm going to like, so if he likes a game on the show, I'll probably like it too.
It is often said that,
I don't know,
you need to find a film reviewer that
yes.
you agree with, or
yeah.
whose opinions that you like. I've always had that with, back when Jonathan Ross was doing film reviews.
Yeah.
He had the same sort of thing for quirky movie that I really like.
There you go.
And yeah, Mark Kermode, apart from his somewhat obsession with slightly perverted movies, I quite I often agree with what he likes, and I will know that I won't like something he likes because yes. he says something
which,
about it.
Which is almost as good as always liking the same things yeah. that someone likes. As long as you always don't like the sorts of things they don't like, they do like, but for the reasons that you can apply.
Yeah.
Basically, what I'm saying is that this kind of thing is a lot of hard work, and you have to put your own research.
And unfortunately, games media is nowhere near a point where... Well, it's getting there, I think.
Is it?
Because you actually do, and I hate to say this, you do need personalities for reviewing for that to happen.
Yes.
You need to know who the reviewer is. If it's just
yes.
you know, Edge for many years,
yeah.
no names
you
on the
can't...
reviews. No idea who it is. It's the Edge editorial team. And you would be able to tell... Okay.
Yeah, because that way lies madness, because you're then trying to approach it as a scientific measurement exercise, and these are subjective experiences, and you can't do that. You end up with reviews telling you how long and how tall and how deep the case is and how much the box weighs. That's what science can do for reviewing.
More and more over time, the more I've come to realise yes. that Edge was not a good magazine.
It thought it was a good magazine, and it yeah. convinced a lot of us
yeah.
with its own rhetoric.
No, it was just really, really wrong.
I don't know.
Levels.
Whatever.
So yeah, it reviews. You have to find someone, and I think yeah.
But when it comes to, but you know, there's time pressures. You've got to get so many reviews out. You can't afford to spend 200 hours playing. See, this is a lot of the thing with game reviewing in particular. Is game length is a very valid and you know, unfortunately relevant function of game reviews, because typical game reviewer, professional paid game reviewer, probably has an inbox to get through. He has a certain number of titles to get through every day, you know, or every week or whatever, and he or she can't spend 200 hours looking at the game properly and understanding it.
More and more frequently, actually.
Yeah.
Day of game release, they get the code. It's been on sale for a day or for well, a couple of hours already.
In these days of
sale at midnight.
In these days of early access, then most of the games industry now seems to be sidestepping reviewers entirely. So you know, go
figure. Even the big releases, you know,
yeah.
you may get the
code. Oh, you don't
for the
you
game.
Don't get advanced copies of anything anymore. I shouldn't think, because software piracy is rife. That
well, it's
just
not
ends
software
up on the
piracy.
Internet.
It's I think it is, and. I don't know if it's a heresy, but I don't think these games are finished.
Well, there's that as well, yeah. Oh,
this,
yeah, so the
this
game...
day one patch was being worked on 5 minutes before release.
So the probably. Game's not even able to be reviewed until launch yeah. day, because they need every goddamn last second
yeah.
available
those
to actually
day
fix
one
the
patches
critical
are
bugs.
In for review.
Yeah.
And they can't go early, I don't think, because they were done at the last second.
So it's a slapdash industry that doesn't put the time and effort in anyway. And
well,
then,
the
and then by the time reviewers get hold of it, yeah.
I would say costs have had to be reduced to a level.
But
which,
yes,
yeah.
but so a game reviewer generally won't care how long the game is on a personal basis, because they're only going to get to play the first 2 hours of it probably anyway.
I think game reviewers should just say, yeah, the first 4 hours you're going
to
like them. That's enough.
Yeah, and so yeah.
It's a $60 game. 12 hours in, I'm still liking it. Can't be asked to play anymore, but there you go.
Well, 3 month rule solves all that, of course.
Oh, it does, yes. Always use the 3 month rule.
But so, I don't know. I mean, speaking personally, I suppose, yeah, I think game length, I don't know. I mean, I typically go for very long, we haven't really talked to MMOs at all, but I typically go for very, very long duration games, because if I like them, then I want to spend a long time playing them. I want to be in that world. I want to live it for as long as possible. And if I don't like it, then it doesn't really matter how long it is. I'll just stop playing anyway.
Yeah.
So I tend to favour long games, yeah. But then that's not to say there aren't short games. I have a very big blind spot in terms of, well, based on most of your list of short games there, your Dear Esther's and your Walking Simulators and your Bunker and Her Story and stuff, are games that I just don't even play. They don't really occur to me to play, not because they're short, because I don't know, perhaps I'm just not really, I'm sort of bogged down in the what is a game conundrum, I suppose, for a lot of those.
You are.
I should try a lot of them though, yeah.
There's a list.
Yeah. Although I will say, value for money does still exercise some kind of very primitive hold on me. I do, you know, I don't know. Yeah. I do expect to, I do sort of buy my games by the kilogram, you know. I do sort of expect them to last a certain amount of time if I've paid X amount of money for them. I think if they're priced appropriately, then the short games aren't necessarily a bad thing. I probably would feel miffed if I paid 40 quid for a 2 hour game though.
All
and that's a very irrational thing, because that might, they, you know, those they, it might actually be worth £20 an hour of experience if it was mind blowing. But how would I know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
All hail the Steam sale.
Well, this is the end of the day. Yes, yeah, so you just wait and everything's £1.79 eventually, isn't
yeah.
it? So no matter how long it is.
So I don't think we've actually come to any conclusion there. So it's a return of form of the topic shows.
I think length is relevant, but not. the be-all and end-all, and many ultimately it comes down to is the basic gameplay fun, and if so, then yeah, it doesn't
and
matter.
And I don't
it
think you can reprogram the general expectations of the game-playing public to ever get around the length thing in any short amount of time.
I wonder, though, I think people who complain about games being too long or too short, have they really got other axes to grind? And is that just more tools, more ammunition?
Possibly, yeah. Mm. You mean that people who want to moan will moan?
Mm.
Anyway, yeah.
Speaking of excessive length.
No, we're on time.
All right, okay. So, yes, so podcast lengths.
Yeah. Yes, around an hour is perfect. So here we are to the hour point.
Mm.
Is there any other point you want to make before we wrap up?
I think we've gone on long enough.
I think we have. This is the time when it should end. You could go along to howtomurdertime.com where you can find our previous correctly length episodes. You can also go along to YouTube where you can see our current playthrough of Minecraft Regrowth, which I have edited out a lot of the boring stuff.
Absolutely going on too long there.
That really is going on too long. Yet another week of recording where we almost rage quit. Yay!
Gotta love them boss fights.
Yeah. You can if you like those, then please subscribe, leave a comment. And the thing you can do that will really help us out is tell people about the show and the videos and stuff so that people find us. Because word of mouth is the best mouth. Nope.
I'm not helping you out here. Go on.
Nope.
Talked yourself into this hole.
The podcast feeds on howtomurdertime.com and iTunes and stuff. And we'll see you next week when we're going to be talking about what we've been playing.
See you next time.